Sunrise Radio Podcast.
Welcome to a series of programs celebrating success stories of inspirational women on Sunrise Radio here today on International Women's Day. My name is Raj Palmer, and in this episode, we will be speaking to author Amita Davis. Welcome, Amita. Thank you very much for joining us here on Sunrise Radio. How are you today?
I'm fine, thank you. I quite liked my introduction.
Celebrated author, it's amazing. Now, you've had quite an interesting journey. You've gone from a teacher to a computer software engineer to an author. How has that journey evolved?
Can I take it back a few years?
Oh, yes.
Just imagine a seven-year-old wanting to just write books and nothing else. And they, at 18, fast forward, and you go to 18 and you say to your dad, your Indian dad, that I'm going to go to university to study journalism or something called English. And you've just spent your time studying biology, chemistry, and physics. And he says, no, that's not in the line of things, you know, not doctor, but you want to write books. So I went on to computer science. So I kept the science bit. I promised him I'd do science, but I didn't obviously do the three sciences. And I went to computer science because I wanted to choose a career. When I wrote off to the journalists, I wrote off under the name of Amy Crystal. I actually, because I didn't want my father to read my news, my letters. They said, look, don't do this. Specialize in a area, and then you know you could be the expert in that particular area. And I thought, I don't know anything about computing. I'd only just had a calculator, and so I thought, okay, I'll do that. I'd hate it. I know I'll hate it, and I'll be a writer, and I'll have got my way out. And lo and behold, I ended up being loving it. And then all computing jobs were down south. So I became a lecturer because it was also the recession. So I couldn't get my business analyst, whatever it was that I thought I was going to do. And I absolutely loved lecturing computing. But then you know how life comes and gets involved and you can't carry on. You know, you have children. And then when you have children, you think, okay, it's still about learning, so I'll become, so I did the software, no, that's not it. I thought, okay, I'll go back into software engineering because you earn more money. So I ditched being a lecturer, went into earn more money. And then I did a PhD bit in between. And then after that, I became a primary school teacher because I felt, my son has dyslexia, and at the time it was undiagnosed, but he also had dyspraxia, which is also undiagnosed at that time. So I felt like the best way to support my son was to actually understand what education was about. So then I became a school teacher. But when I was actually standing, did 11 years. After 11 years, I stood in front of the board, and one of the children said, I think she was an 8-year-old, "We don't understand this climax thing, Mrs. Davis." And I thought, oh, okay. And as I was drawing, I thought, I'll do it visually for you. So I started drawing a bridge and, you know, this character falling off the bridge. And that moment, I thought, wow, that's a story. And then I realized that's a story. And then I also remembered I wrote that story when I was 7 years old. And I thought, that's it. I went back home and I said, okay, I don't want to be deputy head. I want to write books. And that's how I got back into writing after all those years.
You touched upon the kind of the cultural aspect of women going into journalism, you know, especially in those days, what was not a traditional path. How did you manage, you know, to combat? You mentioned you had an alias. But at home, what kind of struggle did you go through?
Well, it was an interesting struggle because my father was really forward thinking, but he also had his feet in his culture as well. So he started us off being brought up by our next door neighbours during the day who were Welsh and Polish. So it became so anglicized. And I think my sister opened a door to, you know, the parties that you have on Sunday. And my sister opened the door and she said, "Dad, there's a black person on the door." And that's it. There, we were then packed up. She was only six, I was seven. We were packed up. My brother stayed here. And the two of us were packed off and we went to Dehradun, which is based in the Himalayas of India.
Yes.
And we were sent to a boarding school there. And we came back about three times in nine and a half years.
Wow.
And it was a girls' school. Now, what they, my parents bargained on was that, oh, yes, it's a very prestigious school and it's, you know, it's founded by Britishers and blah, blah, blah. So they still kept with that Raj bit. But it's in India. It's cultural. You know, they said they teach you Kathak and all the rest of it. What they didn't say, and I'm not joking, though they didn't say, what my parents did not pick up from the perspective is that, one, you don't speak in Hindi beyond the Hindi lesson, but two, you're going to, their whole idea was to give the girls wings. They wanted to give women wings, and their whole philosophy was, I mean, let me just, I wrote it down because it's important. 9.5 years is a long time. It's Artha Shanti Phala Vidya. And that means the aim of education is to bring peace to the suffering. So if that's what you've been taught for 9.5 years, you're going to be thinking, well, women can do anything. Women are strong. And our school teachers, they were either widows from the war, the two wars, or they were women who, you know, had got divorced, or there were women who never wanted to get married, but they were strong women, and, you know, they had found a career in the 50s. So imagine you've just been brought up by them, then you come back for just 2 years to live with your father, who thought your education system was fabulous, and, you know, he got me back to doing A-levels and all the rest, and this kid who can do everything and cultural and all that, but the one thing he thought that I would listen to what he says. And I didn't have that. I didn't know how to listen to what somebody said because they just said it. So, and then I'd gone from England being so British to being sent off to India, being told I wasn't Indian, which I think you would know. You're not Indian. You'll never be Indian. Don't even think about it. You're not one of us. And then you come back and then you're told you're not one of us either. And then you learn you've got to have your own identity. And that makes you strong because you've already been told women are strong. And then on top of that, you're told whatever identity, you can't fit into anyone's identity. And then you really have to dig deep and say, well, I'm going to make my own identity and this is where I'm going.
And you certainly you did make your own identity. I mean, I touched upon it just before the interview, you know, there seems a, you know, and now I understand completely from the teaching background as well. You do have a fascination with rules because you have authored two books, River Rule and Broken Rule. Tell us a bit about each of those books.
Okay. So Broken Rule, surprise, surprise, starts with a girl. Well, she's not seven, she's 17. And she goes from Manchester. And it starts with her turning up in India and she's thinking, oh, this is pretty cool. I'm on holiday and everything is interesting. She'd never seen so many people and there's lots of people and the usual scenes of the cows and the houses and all the rest. And you know, the big billboards with, you know, actresses selling juice. and then suddenly she finds out a few pages in that she is not going to be going back. That's it. She's actually been left there and she's been left without, she is a mixed house. She has mixed heritage. So her mom is Irish. I stole that from my children because they're mixed heritage. And so she hadn't been brought up in any particular culture. She was just British. She was a Mancunian with a Lancashire accent. And she realizes that she lands up living with her grandparents, and her grandparents live in the jungle. And that's the only similarity with my life. When I went to India, my grandparents lived in the jungle, and they were my guardians. You know how you get scared if you see a badger or a wolf or a fox? There we were talking about leopards, bears, and, you know, snakes. And that was part of the day. And you had a curfew. So that's where the book is. The book is about how this girl has to and there's only one other family, and their ideas of what an Indian girl should be about were very strong, especially. And it's based on that. And then she realizes that she's going to be bargained. The jungle comes calling, and she actually has been brought back so that she can be bargained and given over to the tribes people there, and she is to become a guardian of the jungle.
It's a mixture of some references to your own life, really.
Yeah.
Hopefully not the bargaining to the
No. I went off to a really lovely school and my grandparents were really lovely. There's a rule that if you it's about you are initiated in the river to then become part of the jungle, and breaking it, the rule is that if you are 18 and you're firstborn, you are converted. If you choose to live on that land, you are converted. And her grandparents were property developers, and they didn't really think it was a true thing, so they were quite happy. They hadn't invited their grandchild for that reason. It just so happened that the grandchild landed up there, and the tribes people were aware of it. And then it's her trying not to be taken in by the tribes people, and you know how I said I like mythology. Well, there's the mythology. There's mythology because when you're a guardian, it's not necessary that you're going to remain completely human. So you are safeguarding the jungle by taking on another form as well. So
then that evolved into Broken Rule. Is Broken Rule a sequel?
Yeah, Broken Rule is a sequel, and she obviously doesn't manage to stay away from the other side of the river. And this time she's not the only one who's trying to break the rules of not going there. There are lots of rules broken within the tribe itself, and it causes commotion.
Now, these books, for our listeners, if anyone wants to get hold of them, how do they go about doing that?
It's on Amazon. They're on Amazon UK, but you can also order them from Waterstones.
Okay, and a final message to our listeners today on International Women's Day, please.
We all have wings, and you can be anything you want to. I've had 6 different careers, and I've enjoyed every single one of them. If you can imagine it, you can be it.
Thank you for joining us today, and hopefully we look forward to speaking to you again soon.
You're welcome. I've enjoyed it too. Thank you very much, Rod.